touch that browser. This is YahvaYahweh.name. I'm Stefan Yah-Aber. We're talking about Christmas, Christ, and Mass. First of all, let's hear Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the Unmighty One, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Who is Christ? Well, why not use the correct word Messiah instead of Christ? That's a better question. For reference, we could read Come Out of Her, My People by C.J. Coster on page 70 for Christ. And also in The Final Reformation by C.J. Coster on page 76 in one of the later paragraphs, well, it's near the bottom on this Final Reformation. Who was the Christos? Oh, this all a sensational admission as to the confusion and uncertainty between Christos and Christos, that's spelled C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S, Christus and Christus, Christiani and Christianii, is well documented and shared and published by other scholars. And then he gives a reference for that, reference 201 out of 350 references. And it's published by other scholars as well as by the early church fathers, so-called early church fathers, as Justin Martyr, Tertullian, Lactantius, and others. This confusion and uncertainty can only encourage and exhort us to return to the only source of truth, the Word, the Scriptures, before it is translated into the languages of the pagans. Only then can we find peace in the truth of our Savior, being the Messiah, the Anointed, the one promised to Israel. Who was this Christos or Christen with which Christos became confused with? We have already seen that Christos or Christus was a common Greek popular name, meaning good. And look up the word good and you'll find that's not so good. Further, we see in Pali Wisawa, Reali Encyclopedia under Christos, that the inscription Christus is to be seen on a Mithras relief in the Vatican. Mithras is spelled M-I-T-H-R-A-S. We also read in J.M. Robertson, Christianity and Mythology, that Osiris, the sun deity of Egypt, was reverenced by Christus. C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S. And I'm almost through reading this passage. We also read of the heretic Gnostics who used the name Christos. Skipping to the next paragraph, the word Christos could even have been more acceptable to the Krishna worshippers because the name of Krishna was pronounced and still is to the present day as Krista in many parts of India. Thus, we can readily see that the word Christos was easier to convert the pagans with than the word Messiah or Mashiach in the Hebrew. So it was easier to to supposedly convert the pagans with the word Christos than the proper word Messiah, especially because of the anti-Judaism that prevailed among the pagans and among Christians today. And there is anti-Judaism, anti-Numenism, and anti-law. To be specific, the syncretism between Christos and Christus, the sun deity Osiris, O-S-I-R-I-S, is further elucidated or expanded by the fact of Emperor Hadrian's report, who wrote, "There are there in Egypt Christians who worship Serapis." That's, I'm probably mispronouncing that, but it's a S-E-R-A-P-I-S. It could be Serapis. And devoted to Serapis are those who call themselves bishops of Christ. Serapis was another sun deity who superseded Osiris in Alexandria. Once again, we must not falter or stumble over this confusion among the Gentiles. Rather, seek the truth primarily from the faithfully preserved Old Testament scriptures and compare them with Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16, John 17:17, Psalm 119, and Isaiah 40, verse 8. That's John 17:17. We must praise the Father in spirit and in truth, as well as His Son, Yahusha, the Messiah. Yahusha is spelled Y-A-H-O-S-H-A, Yahusha, as opposed to those who are still using the Shua, who have not studied about that, the corruption. Who is sitting at His right hand? The Messiah. Yahusha, the Messiah. We do accept every word in the New Testament, the so-called, or I call it the Newer Testament, because it's fairly old. But we do desire to return to the original scriptures of the New Testament as far back as we possibly can. As previously mentioned, the Greeks changed Elia, or Elijah, into Helios. And likewise, to avoid confusion between Christos and Christos, C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S, we should abide by the word Messiah or anointed, remembering that Osiris, the sun deity, amongst others, who called Christus, was called Christus, excuse me. So Osiris was called Christus. Mithras, too, was possibly called Christus, C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S. And that's the end of that reading here from the final Reformation, or Come Out of Her, My People. Also see Mystery Babylon Religion by Ralph Woodrow, and many, many other resources that are listed on our website, yahweh.name. But they never actually did tell in there where the word C-H-R-I-S-T, or Christos, came from. But certainly it is not the correct term, so why not use the correct one, which we know is Messiah, or even more accurately, the Anointed One. So what is the Mass when we talk about Christ Mass? It's a Catholic convention, a Mass, and not to put down any Catholic, because I attended and I taught Catholic school and Catholic religion as a layman, and had many esteemable teachers and professors there, but and many good friends as well. So I don't want to put any of them down necessarily, unless we know that they're doing something that's obviously wrong. And well, of course, we could name the perversion of the scriptures, and you know, changing from Sabbath to Sunday and so on. But what is the Mass? The Mass is the bloody sacrifice according to St. Joseph's Missal and according to the Catholic Encyclopedia. Now, they've updated those references so that they've tried to take the blood out of it, take the bloody part of it. But it's, if you look at the older ones, going back to around 1950 and earlier, you'll get a lot more vivid picture there. So it says the Mass is the bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ in body and blood, soul and divinity, unquote. And I better close that caption here. I didn't do that. I appreciate your emails at StephanYah@yahweh.name. So we'll go to Hebrews 10 now. Hebrews chapter 10. After that, it'll be Romans. And after that, it'll be the book of the Revelation. Actually, I put Romans 18, verse 1. Well, that's from the book of StephanYah, I think. That's not from Yahweh's pure scripture. So I got to change that too. There we go. Revelation. Okay. That looks a little more truthful. That looks most truthful. Hebrews 10, 8 through 12. Hebrews 10 now, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, you would not. You neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do your will. Oh yeah, so this is the Messiah speaking here. I should have qualified that. So the Messiah is speaking. He offered himself once for our sins. So he said, lo, I come to do your will, Yah, or O Father. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. by the which we are all set apart through the offering of the blood of Yahushua the Messiah, once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. Now, he's talking about the Levitical priests. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, referring to the Messiah, this man, after he had suffered once, he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and that the offering of himself, of course, he sat down on the right hand of the Sovereign One, the right hand of the Father. In the book of the Revelation, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power. Revelation 18:1. Having great power, and the earth was lightened with his esteem, or his splendor. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. So this is talking here about a religious system. Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is the New Testament. There's no unclean birds in the New Testament. Oh, there are? Oh, it said that right here, huh? Wow. Unclean are still unclean, just like back in the days of Noah, even way back before Moses, that there were clean and there were unclean animals. Revelation 18:3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, of this religious system. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Now that's spiritual fornication. And the merchants, now this is what I want to really emphasize, the merchants of the earth, those who are running the shops, or the big corporations that manufacture toys around the winter solstice, December 25th, the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies, Babylon's delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that all of you be not partakers of her sins. Come out of her, my people, and that all of you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and the Mighty One has remembered her iniquities. That was Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. 1 Corinthians is next, 1 Corinthians 6:16. That we are talking about spiritual fornication, that is compared to physical fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:16. What know all of you not? Don't you know that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, he says, shall be one flesh. So no, we don't want to be joined to a harlot, either physically or spiritually. That is gross sin. Now let's go back to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 9:22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better offerings than these. For Moshiach, or Messiah, is not entered into the separate places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. So the temple is made with hands, and that's the symbol of the true, of the Messiah himself, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Yahweh for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the set-apart place every year with the blood of others. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, as he appeared to put away sin by the offering of himself. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Messiah was once offered, not every Sunday morning for breakfast, at the Lord's breakfast, but once Messiah was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The end of chapter 9 of Hebrews. And then when we read from the book of the Revelation, That was a future event that will take place. That's prophecy from the final book in the Scriptures. And then we're going to go to the book of the Galatians, who were not Hebrew, they were Gentiles, and they are Gentiles. Galatians chapter 4. And the reason that we're doing this is because there's so much pressure to conform to the world and to the activities of the winter solstice, of the festivity, the pagan holidays, Christmas, which we call the heathen season. Heathen season there. That's kind of catchy. So that's why we're doing that. Even in the messianic circles, there's even more pressure these days to conform to these things. The giving of presents, they bring that up at Hanukkah and add the Hanukkah bush and exchanging presents daily. Now, why is this? It is causing, I know that it causes people to covet and to look forward to some sort of a present, a surprise, even a bribe. And, you know, if I give you something of a certain value, then you are expected to turn around and remunerate and give me something just as valuable, approximately as valuable, and not something that's really, really cheap. Or on the other hand, you know, somebody might do that, turn around and try to give you something to impress you, you know, give you something very, very expensive. But this engenders a spirit of coveting, and, you know, it's all about me. It's all, everything's about me and my pleasure and myself. Well, that's not supposed to, of course. We're told the spirit of Christmas is about giving to one another. That's supposed to bring a real warmth to you. But even more warmth and much more in sincerity and truth is to give according to Messiah's way, according to the Scriptures, and to attend his feasts, and not the pagan feasts, but attend, for example, the Feast of Tabernacles in the late summer, which commonly called fall. Galatians 4, to these Gentiles who never kept Yahweh's feasts necessarily. Yes, so what were they doing? Well, I think you can answer that question. Nevertheless, then, when all of you knew not the Mighty One, when all of you knew not Yahweh, all of you did service unto them which by nature are no mighty ones. With 1 Thessalonians 4:5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not the Mighty One. That was 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 5. And the Mighty One, of course, we know is the Father, Yahweh. So we need to put that in our notes. When all of you knew not the Mighty One, the Sovereign One. Galatians chapter 4 then, and the next verse is verse 9. But now, after that all of you have known the Mighty One, or rather are known of the Mighty One, how turn you all of you again to the weak and beggarly elements, unto which all of you desire again to be in bondage? Now, if you're keeping Yahweh's feasts, you are not in bondage. Well, you could be if you're doing it for the wrong reason, or, you know, you might be in there to try to rip somebody off, for example. But all of you observe days, or all of you observe days and months and times and years, he says to the Gentiles. All of you observe days, months, times, and years, and I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So what is that? Days and months and times and years. If it's not Yahweh's days, months, times, and years, his new moons, his feast days, his Sabbath days, then what could that be? Could it be the winter solstice? Could it be in the springtime with the equinox and people observing the signs that we're not to be afraid of, the signs of the heavens? We're not to be afraid of that. We're not to be afraid of Satan claws. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah 10. Hear all of you the word which Yahweh speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Second verse. Thus saith Yahweh, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. So they're dismayed at these signs of their winter solstice, the so-called new year. There is a song I was going to play for you. I don't think there'll be time, but what are you doing New Year's Eve? Well, on the Yava's New Year's Eve, it'll be coming up on that first new moon of Aviv. And then 14 days later, I'm going to be washing feet, foot washing, and partaking in Yahweh's Passover meal that he told us that if we do these things in remembrance of him, there, we will have much joy. If we share in the body and blood, the symbols are the bread and the wine. So Jeremiah 10:3, for the customs of the people are vain, for one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it doesn't move. And it's upright as the palm tree, but it doesn't speak. It must essentially be borne up, be carried by men and be attached to the Christmas tree stand, in other words. Which I added that part now. You don't have to read that in there, but most people would agree if they're honest. So it must essentially be born because they cannot go on their own. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Well, if anything, do not bow down to that Christmas tree to receive a present from it on Christmas morning or Easter Sunday morning or Halloween evening. Ezekiel 11:12. All of you shall know that I am Yahweh, for all of you have not walked in my statutes, neither have you executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you. That was Ezekiel 11:12. Deuteronomy 12:2 now. So that's that was very heavy, wasn't it? Ezekiel, I love that in the 11th chapter there. Okay, you ready? Anybody? Deuteronomy 12, verse 2. These are the statutes and judgments which all of you shall observe to do in the land which Yahweh, the mighty one of your fathers, gives you to possess it, all the days that all of you live upon the earth. All of you shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which all of you shall possess, or that you serve their mighty ones upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And all of you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn down their groves with fire. And all of you shall hew down the graven images of their mighty ones and destroy the names of them out of that place. So we've got to destroy this name of Baal. All of you shall not do so, unto Yahweh your mighty one. In other words, we shall not do the way of the heathen there. 1 Kings 14. These kings did some good things. They praised Yahweh, but there is that syncretism that was being practiced even back then in the days of the kings. 1 Kings 14:22-24. And Yehuda did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed, above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. There was also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which that Yahweh had cast out before the children of Israel. Does that sound comparable to what is going on in the world today? Sodomites are in the land. We need to put our hope in Messiah and in his word and in the faith, in the word, not in all of these speculations about how bad things are, you know, what his name really means and so on. I don't think I need to, you don't need to know all that to put you into so much fear, because Yahweh is greater than he, much, much greater. He is nothing. He's just an instrument in Yahweh's hand. Oh, praise Yah, he's coming, and his saints are coming with him. And we hope to include many, many in our company when the saints go marching in. 2 Kings 16 then, 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem and did not that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, his mighty one. He didn't do that which was right, like But he didn't do like David his father, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen. Yes, that is, that's murder, murdering the unborn. In this case, they were already born, and they're starting to do that as well now. And he did according to the abominations, whom Yahweh had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. But they also did good things, just like today. A lot of religions do many, many wonderful things. I think they all do. Is there any religion that doesn't do anything good at all? No, they lose their credibility. So you got to have some truth there and do some good deeds for people. Or people say, huh, who'd want to join a church like that? It seems like they, you know, and then they call us Scrooge, of course, for trying to be sincere. But so anyway, I digressed there. Verse 32 of 2 Kings 17. So they feared Yahweh and made unto themselves of the low of them priests of the high places. They took the lowest people who weren't qualified yet. You know, like today in Messianic circles, I believe that we are having people who are not qualified for the ministry, according to the book of Timothy there. I think we're having some divorced people in the ministry. They're not properly scanned and interviewed and looked into their past, or they're ignoring what their past is or trying to gloss it over. Anyway, back to the study, Stephania. Verse 33, they feared Yahweh. So they did fear Yahweh, and they served their own sovereigns after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not Yahweh, neither do they after their statutes that are after their ordinances, or after the law and commandment which Yahweh commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Yisrael, with whom Yahweh had made a covenant and charged them, saying, all of you shall not fear other sovereigns, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor offer to them. But Yahweh, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall all of you fear, and him shall all of you praise him. And to him shall all of you do offering. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, which he wrote for you, you know, not just Moses, but he wrote through Moses, all of you shall observe to do forevermore, and all of you shall not fear these Elohim, and the covenant that I have made with all of you shall not forget, neither shall all of you fear those Elohim, but Yahweh your sovereign. All of you shall fear him, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all of your enemies. Nevertheless, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared Yahweh. Now here's the whole gist of why I wanted to pick this out in 2 Kings 17. It's verse 41. So these nations feared Yahweh. They did a good thing there. Just like today, if you walk into a pretty good church. Most of the people, if not all of them, fear Yahweh, or at least they seem to. They fear Yahweh. And they serve their graven images. Yes, just like today. They serve their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. Now we're going to pick up next with Jeremiah chapter 2. And we're 30 minutes into the broadcast. So Yahweh hates syncretism, the mixture. Mixing good things and bad things together. And, you know, mixing the good in there and trying to make the bad look good. Trying to sugarcoat our evil deeds, our transgressions. Jeremiah 2, verse 19, and near the end of that paragraph, 2:19. For of old time I have broken your yoke and burst your bands, and you said, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree you wander, playing the harlot. Yes, here we are with spiritual harlotry again. Verse 21, yet I had planted you a noble vine, totally a right seed. How then are you turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though you wash yourself with alkali, and you take much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, saith Yahweh, the Mighty One. How can you say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam? Anyway, we could look up Hosea 2:16 there about taking on these names of Balaam, of LORDs. I have not gone after Balaam. See your way in the valley, know what you have done. You're a swift dromedary traversing her ways. So, a mule, they're a stubborn mule. That's a perversion, somebody mixing seed. Instead of a horse that Yahweh created, man had to come up and cross the donkey and the horse there. Isaiah chapter 1:22. Here we are about the mixture. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves gifts and follows after rewards. Hey, happy Hanukkah. Everyone loves gifts and follows after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith Yahweh, Yahweh of hosts, the Mighty One of Israel, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies, and I will turn my hand upon you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your tin. Or is that, maybe that should have been sin, but anyway, tin is a mixture of the metals there, of a bunch of impurities in there to make that cheap metal. And it's certainly not pure. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with the water, and you follow after gifts, and after rewards. Isaiah, that was chapter 1. Let's go to the next chapter now. Down here to verse 7. 2:7 in Yeshayahu. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Yeah, that kind of reminds me of putting up the old tree there, of which I was guilty of for 40 plus years, of putting up the old pagan tree every year, and I had a Sabbath-keeping guy come in and said, hey, what's this? And I said, what do you mean, what's this? Get out. You have no business in here telling me whether or not I can have a tree. What's the matter with that? I could have a plant, can't I? Can't I have a tree, too? Yeah. Well, I don't think that's a good idea. I could have a tree some other time of year, but they tell me, no, that's not a good plan either. That's, Yahweh says, don't bring that evergreen tree into your home, Jeremiah chapter 10. It's just going to start something that you don't want to follow up with in your life and into that covetousness. Isaiah 2:17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. Yahweh shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. Isaiah, or Yeshayahu 8:13, set apart Yahweh of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, or a mikudesh, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. That's the northern and the southern tribe. For an animal trap, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon Yahweh that hides his face from the house of Jacob. Yes, Yahweh is our lawgiver. And behold, I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom Yahweh has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from Yahweh of hosts, who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. Should we bring back the dead? Bring back our loved ones as much as we would love to have them come back. But too many people are into that familiar spirit thing. and seek unto, or so and so appeared to me, there was an apparition of this woman or man, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mumble, should not a people seek unto their mighty one? For the living, to the dead, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king, their mighty one, and look upward. Let's look upward unto Yahushua, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Mighty One of Mighty Ones. Let's see. Clean scriptural foods, talking about the covenant, feasts, the media, how it affects us and affects believers, the Roman New Year versus Yahweh's New Year. Salvation is Jewish. Tabernacles, how about the heart? First of all, we need to think about the heart instead of getting into a whole lot of technicalities. Maybe we should just concentrate on our hearts. But we can't just do that to the putting down of all other doctrines and studies. We need to study it all, but in a priority basis there. And we need to study Yahweh's name. So this is what the main thing is here on our website as we talk about the Messiah. So I'm running out of words, but thank you for joining us today on YahvehYahweh.name. I'm Stephen Yah. Have a good day. Shalom. Like to hear from you. Thank you.